Okay, so this is tape 26. Sarah was born in January.
January 61, and you know, something, I guess a mother can sense when there's just something not quite right, as this started to evolve with Linda. You know, she talked to the doctor, there's something that, she's just not quite like she should be. But anyway, one time, and I don't recall the incident, but I must have gotten very distressed when I was first telling people, you can imagine. And a professor here, Earl Parker, one time, and I said, I hadn't seen a grown man cry before. Mm. And just a few months later, his oldest son, who was then 28, three of them were sailing at night, and under the San Mateo Bridge ran into a barge, and his son was drowned, killed. Mm. This very person. Mm. And then I just want to say this also, then some would be the following spring, the son who had just finished the ninth grade, 14 years old, they were over in Marin for a school outing. And the son was in the swimming pool and I guess deciding to try to see how long he could stay underwater and die. It may have been his heart, he didn't. I think he didn't die from drowning, but he died, it may have been heart, of trying to do what he did.
This was Parker?
No, this is another one in the department, Irv Fatt. And so Peg, when she heard this, called up Helen Fatt, the mother. What I just said is kind of an odd, what caused that? But anyway, there's some. Died age 14 at this school outing. And anyway, Helen Fatt said, when Linda died, I didn't know what to say, so I didn't. Whereas Peg called up and said, sorry, etc. And a lot of people just don't know how.
People are afraid to
talk about it. They don't know that the people who are survivors might appreciate. Well, I think you probably appreciate. Comments from people because.
Doesn't matter what they say, just.
That's right.
Say
right. But I still recall, I didn't know what to say, so I didn't.
Yeah.
And then here again, the same kind of tragedy, hits their family. Then, of course, in 63, our son Steve was born, and it's nice he was a boy, because that way, we didn't look at him as a replacement. But I'll tell you, you sure worry until they all pass age five, about what might happen, and as they finally all get older, that all goes in the background.
This must have been hard for Lucy.
I think it changed her personality. She was very outgoing and I think it did. I can see it, and I always. Not that she isn't an outgoing person now, but she was. I think it did at the time. We talked about it then. because
she... Now she's the one who's a nurse now?
She's a nurse, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And very much looks after other people. She's an emergency nurse, likes it, and she's very concerned of the people that I talked to over this last tragedy of the New York towers. She was more concerned and more emotional about it than anybody, because she knows what this can be like. In fact, she was saying that, she was on duty when they had that huge traffic wreck on I-5, Thanksgiving a few years ago, or the next day she was there. She said, sometimes people come in with, an accident or something, and if they're not busy, they get really detailed treatment and so on, but when you've got a major thing coming on, if you know somebody's going to die, you just take care of them in a minute or two and then put them aside and put your efforts to those you know are going to survive. But if it isn't a calamity, they really give detailed effort to everybody. But she really, I could see, felt for the people. Plus, her husband's a fireman, and that. Peg's brother called up some woman that he used to work with at Bessemer Trust in New York, and this woman lives in Brooklyn, and she said the fire station right near her, they lost a truck and everybody on it, and another fire station somewhere near them in Brooklyn, because across the Brooklyn Bridge, you're right down there in that south end. Entire fire company was wiped out. Mm.
Yeah.
People going to help other people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know you talked with Frank Applin, and I called up Frank by chance the very afternoon that his little daughter had swallowed the mothball. Mm. I caught him just by sheer chance about an hour later. Mm. I think he was still numb, and it just didn't even hit me what had really happened there. Then Peg and I, with our kids, we went down to Monterey or Pacific Grove and was just for a weekend or something. And bought a local paper, and there was a little column about somebody mentioned it in Monroe, New York. Child dies from swallowing and choking on a mothball. It was either the very night, next that night it might have been, or the next.
Was that about the same time that?
Well, it's a little later, of course, but not much later. Yeah. I mean, it was a year or two, maybe. Mm.
But you both went through a similar thing at a similar time.
Right.
Well, you never get over those things.
You don't, but they go in the background, don't they?
Well, you have to keep on.
Isn't that right? I mean, I think that's very important.
Especially when you have other children, you have to. Have to carry on for them.
Yeah. It. But go in the background. I don't mean immediate.
No.
But eventually, tragedy goes. It has to, or we couldn't face
right.
it.
Well, you come.
But
to
of course, it. You can tell it, mm-hmm. it when you think about it. It comes up and. Especially these things you can't figure out.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
No, I think this last week has stressed everybody more than anything we've gone through for a long, long time.
We'll have to see where all of that goes. And by the way, I told you to listen with Richard Smith, down at the faculty club, to listen to Bush's talk. And boy, I was amazed this morning, everybody on TV, all of the people they talked to really were pluses on that talk.
Yes, it was very good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What comes over, I have to see.
Right, I guess we should probably stop
we quit
now.
Right.